Don't forget to turn the heat up with Rum Haven. That is made with real coconut water. Perfect for mixing to make delicious drinks like the Haven on Hearth or the Cocojito, or drink it on its own, maybe on the rocks. That's how I enjoy my Rum Haven. Be the hit of every party with Rum Haven. Turn the heat up and enjoy some Rum Haven this holiday season. Discover more recipes that will help you sip into paradise at rumhaven.com. What's going on, everybody? Happy, Tuesday night? Wednesday morning? I don't know. Welcome to another episode of The Vile Files. I am your host, Nick, and I am joined by both my guests for this episode and the trusty team of Allie and Amanda. Ladies, welcome. It's your first time on camera.
It's a big day.
It's a big day. It's Thanksgiving week. It's holiday week, as you know. Many people are traveling, and I thought, you know, instead of dragging a guest in here while they're probably planning for turkey, let's just have Allie and Amanda take over the
recap roles. He was like, I couldn't get anyone else. So here we are.
My literal last choice.
Natalie's out of town, so here we go.
It wasn't quite like that at all. Actually, I was feeling late. It's the holidays.
Sure.
I was like, who do we have? And like, you know, we have a nice rotation, and I always, you know, sometimes, and I was just like, you know what? Let's just ask Allie and Amanda. I don't want to bug anyone.
They can't say no.
Oh, you guys,
they're going to be here anyway.
You guys are playing hard to get.
Like, yeah, exactly. We're going to bargain, actually. Yeah.
How much are you paying?
It's my first time seeing you both with makeup on.
Looking decent, yeah.
I always thought you both looked wonderful.
No, because you know how bad I typically look when you noticed on my birthday that I was wearing makeup, and that was the, like, clue that something was going on in my life, because you were like, something different is going on here.
Well, again, I always thought you guys looked wonderful.
Thank you.
Stepping it up on camera. Well, now I think we're going to have a camera on both of you going forward.
Oh, God.
So
great.
That adds so much time to our morning routine.
Yeah. Now I have 25 seconds of putting foundation under my eyes. And then
I did not realize what I was asking.
It's okay.
Anyway, we'll get through it. Before we get in to today's episode, big episode tomorrow with the Bachelorette herself, Michelle Young. We sit down, we chat, we talk about her men, why the fuck Colton Clayton, whatever his name is the Bachelor, about Martin and his terribleness and life. I think we get to know Michelle a lot more, the person, not the Bachelorette.
Totally.
But be sure to tune into that while you are traveling home for the holidays. Also, we are having a Black Friday merch sale, and I'm wearing one of the t-shirts. Having fun, just an introvert. It's our introvert line. So if you find yourself, you have a friend who's more of a quiet person in public settings, and people are used to telling them to smile, and why are they having fun? Or, you
know, is that your introvert voice
like
in
that.
Your head when you're in the corner at a party? Like,
no, it's my,
nobody knows that I'm actually.
It's my extrovert
impression of an people. Introvert.
Why aren't you like, why aren't you dancing? Come on, have some fun. Anyway,
25. All extroverts are from the Valley. It's a rule.
Yeah. 25% off?
Yeah.
25%.
Vilefiles.com, code VILL. Give the gift of being seen to your introverted friends.
And looking cute while you do it.
And they're soft t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts.
Yeah. Very soft material.
We upgraded our line.
We upgraded our line.
Months ago. They're really great.
So check us out. I mean, truly, I don't think your introverted friends could be happier.
They don't want anything else this holiday season.
Although, like, do we... You know how we had talked about the gift where it's just like a passive aggressive gift?
Sure.
The self-help books.
And like you're still walking around and be like, I'm not an introvert.
And be like, we know. Opens up the gift.
You're like, nah. And you're like, here, maybe.
I hate to break it to you, but.
I
feel like introverts are self-aware. It's one of the
they're becoming
good
more.
Qualities, you know?
Yeah. Something they have to own. Anyway, so check it out. Vialfiles.com, 25% off starting on Thanksgiving. Code V-I-A-L-L. And I guess let's get to all things Bachelorette.
Or should we start with Bachelor Nation? Because I feel like it's been popping lately. Last week was a big week. Obviously, like this week, we got the official announcement from Tayshia and Zach. But there was like separation rumors.
R.I.P.
Yeah, but that was starting back on like Friday because someone submitted like this kind of anonymous tip of, she was like, my roommate actually ran the New York Marathon next to them. Like they were like somewhat keeping pace. And she was saying like, Tayshia kept wanting to walk and Zach was like, we're not walking, we're still running. And like, it seemed like really tense. And this person like submitted and she was like, it didn't seem like it was like in a nurturing, like coaching way. It seemed really harsh. And then the past few episodes of Tayshia's podcast, she wasn't wearing her ring, which was weird because the last time she didn't wear a ring, there was so much like paranoia around it.
Another time she wasn't wearing.
Yeah, but she released a statement because there was so much, like this was way back when. She's like, it's getting resized, like everything's fine. But she didn't release a statement as to why this time. And when she was on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, he was like asking about the wedding. Mm-hmm. She was like, no, haven't started planning. Don't, you know, no plans. And then we saw what happened. Also,
unfortunate.
She liked this post on Instagram. That it was just a quote. And it said, finally, I realized that I was never asking for too much. I was just asking the wrong person. She liked that post on Instagram.
Ouch.
Yeah. God.
So that's R.I.P. Tayshia and Zach.
That's always subjective, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those like cryptic, vague messages.
Well, I don't think that was an accident.
Totally.
Does she like that?
Yes. That was definitely on purpose. That's a bummer. I feel for them. But I just think, you know, what you're asking for. Yeah. I mean, and I guess in a way, sure. If that's how she feels, I think we always have to be careful to be like, the other person must suck. You know, like, again, it could be like a love language thing, you know, like what one person's expectation of how much they give. We talked to Dr. Diane about that in terms of like, you know, they're not on the same page. Listen, yeah, they met on The Bachelorette.
I feel like people are really prone to like take an incompatibility and make it into like villainize someone. Yeah. When it's like, it's not that they're bad. It's just that you're incompatible. Yeah,
we also,
and that sucks to
discover. We also have a tendency of doing that in the relationship.
Totally.
You know. In terms of, again, it wasn't an accident that she liked that post.
Yes.
Also, like, yeah, I mean, who knows? Like, what the rumor of Zach and the, it doesn't seem like a coach. I take the tea from ongoers and observers with a grain of salt.
There's also, like, to play devil's advocate with the whole marathon thing, like, what if going into this training,
marathon.
Like clearly
everyone like
together.
There is like crabby.
Yeah.
If I'm running a marathon, like, you know, I have a blister.
Yeah.
You know?
But also like, what if that was like part of their agreement? She was like, no matter how many times I tell you to walk, you have to tell me to keep running.
Yeah.
That was their like deal.
She was just like, no, I really want, I have
she's
this
like,
goal.
Push me, yeah.
It pushed me.
She's like I have to be faster than Peter.
And Zach's like, okay, like, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think that, the marathon was
no.
like...
They might have already been on the rocks and it was just... That's
for sure.
Tough.
For sure.
Running a marathon in any conditions is tough.
I mean, I heard about Trouble in Paradise long ago, but in their defense, it's a hard...
Hard transition.
There's Trouble in Paradise always from the beginning because you're always kind of like finding out what you signed up for in that relationship after you get engaged.
Totally.
Speaking of paradise.
What?
Greg.
What about him?
There are rumors that he had dinner with some BIP producers and they were talking about getting him on the show.
Where?
In New York, I believe. Someone like sat next to them and overheard them talking about like how they want him on the show.
Yeah, it's possible. Sure. I would suspect the producers would want him on the show.
I feel like that whole group could be fun. Like the Andrew, Justin, Greg. They have like a good...
It's like, you remember when Greg was just the like the sad boy who would look out dramatically? Like before, obviously before.
On his balcony.
Isn't he still?
Yeah, in a way, I feel like he's so much more than that now. He's gotten wrapped up in... But like, I never forget that he is a man with just like haunting looks in his eyes.
I would be shocked if Justin, Andrew, and Greg aren't all on the beach next Paradise.
That could be fun.
Yeah, I wouldn't call
I feel
that
like they would forget to invite Justin. You know, like the producers would like forget to email him.
Not after those looks into the camera.
Yeah, I think no, he's a shoo-in for sure. Also, he's like someone that women will be asking for, like as a heartthrob. You don't know?
I don't. Why are you looking at me? No, I have. Nothing. You made the face.
I don't think he's like not a heartthrob. I just don't necessarily. He wasn't a standout heartthrob for me. Andrew's standout heartthrob, in my opinion.
Either way, I suspect all three of them would will be given the opportunity.
Totally.
If we had to go through the whole Aaron and James thing, I think we deserve those three. I will say yesterday was day 11 of Katie's 12 Days of Messy, which is where she's posting stories of the people on her season and assigning them a...
Is that weird?
Taylor Swift song?
What do we think about that?
It feels unnecessary. Feels like she's trying to stir the pot this many months later.
Is that what... Well, I empathize with the fact that like everyone who comes off the show is just trying to figure out like their lane from a social media standpoint.
Totally.
You know, I get hopping on the Taylor Swift hype. That makes sense.
Sure.
You know, we did that.
It too.
So, but it seems a bit weird
and it,
to
it
make it about
feels harsh.
Well, to make it about your bachelor, the men you quote unquote dated, like 6 minutes after you broke off an engagement.
Yeah. And then assigning Blake, like we are never, ever getting back together. Like it just feels
it's like
harsh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
She's really leaning into it. Yeah. You know, like I feel like she maybe heard some blowback from the way she handled herself on AFR. And she was like, oh, okay. So people are talking a lot about the way I was kind of laying into Greg. I'm going to lay into all the other dudes too.
Yeah.
Instead of like being like, oh, they want to see. But I, you know what? It's like at a certain point, like I feel like Katie's going, she knows that she doesn't have mass appeal. And so she's like, I'm just going to give my followers.
You think she knows that?
I think I wouldn't say like she, I don't know that she would put it that way, but I think she would maybe phrase it as like a, like she has people, you either love her or you hate her. Take it or leave it, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think anybody would be like, I don't have mass appeal. Like that's a tough thing to say about yourself.
Well, would you
would you say you have mass appeal?
Depends on how you qualify. I'm not loved by all.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Would you rather be polarizing and have people who like really, really love you or really hate you or like kind of lukewarm for everyone?
Well, I mean, if we're talking about, I mean, at the end of the day, what you really want is people to care and have an opinion about you, I guess, in that context. And I, you know, I don't know. It's a weird thing to go back to and make it seem like you care. I mean, whatever. I don't know.
12 days of messy.
12 days of messy. the first time you said that, I was like, I didn't know Katie was a soccer fan. Like, I was like, what is she doing talking about?
Nobody
else knows Messi, the soccer player?
Oh.
God. Oh. Jesus.
You really thought that that's what she was talking about?
Yeah. I was like, what? Like, that was where my mind went immediately. 12 Days of Messy, that honestly, I feel like Messy should look into that. It has a ring to it.
Well, isn't like Hannah's book about like...
God bless this mess.
Like, what is this whole like, I guess...
It's so much mess happening at the same time.
Totally. I feel like that's such a thing for very put together people to be like, I'm such a mess.
Well, I think Caitlin kind of... own that space.
Totally.
Brilliantly.
Authentic.
Without having to like say it, without having to name it. It's like, oh God, I'm such a mess.
Yeah. You know, like, she wasn't like, it's like when girls are like, I'm so quirky. It's like the first rule of being a quirky girl, self-label as a quirky girl. And like, Caitlin
has gone around being like, this is who I am. And I think a lot of women have responded to see themselves in Caitlin.
Because she shows. It's like show, don't tell. Like they say in English class.
She just does it.
Yeah, she pounds the wine on a weeknight.
And she's Hannah, like walking like Katie the walk. Taking notes, being like, oh my God, I guess just like, I don't know. Rum Haven, that's right, made with real coconut water. It doesn't matter if the seasons are changing and it's getting cold outside, you can still have a tropical indoors, or at least the feel of a tropical setting, as long as you crack open a delicious Rum Haven. Perfect to drink by itself on the rocks. That's how I enjoy my Rum Haven. Super awesome when you mix it with other mixers, and you can make tasty drinks like the Haven on Hearth, which is a sweet pineapple club soda, Haven in Hell, spicy jalapeno, chili peppers, pineapple, and lime.
the Cocajito, tart lime mint club soda, and much more. That's right. Be the hit at your party by just simply bringing Rum Haven. All my friends enjoy it, and everyone now is just like, hey, I'll come over as long as you supply the Rum Haven. And the next thing you know, you're the hit of the party. Discover more recipes that will help you sip into paradise at rumhaven.com. Ritual, that's right. Know what you're putting in your body. That's right. Doesn't matter whether it's multivitamins or protein. We always assume these things are made with things that are healthy for us because, well, we tend to take vitamins and protein because we're trying to be healthy, right? And supplement our health. Well, that's not always the case. But Ritual, you have the peace of mind of knowing what they are putting in their ingredients and then subsequently in your body. Their team of scientists from Harvard, hello Harvard, have reimagined protein and vitamins. They have proteins for all different walks of life, 18 plus, pregnancy, postpartum, 50 plus. The protein's made with 20 grams of pea protein plus complete amino acid profile made with essential chloroline to help fill in common dietary gaps. Delicious handcrafted vanilla flavor. So not only is it good for you, it tastes great. And again, made specifically for you. So get your protein on. Also, Ritual makes some great multivitamins for men and for women. Again, specificity is important when you're taking vitamins for your health. All you protein lovers out there, get your Ritual on now and get that same quality that Ritual has been putting in their vitamins in your protein. It's delicious, it's good for you, and it's available now to make trying something new less scary. Ritual offers a money-back guarantee if you're not 100% in love. Plus, my listeners get 10% off during your first 3 months. Just visit ritual.com to add essential protein today. That's ritual.com/VIALL.
Well, this goes along with the 12 Days of Messy because after one Miss Katie Thurston tagged one Mr. Thomas in I Knew You Were Trouble.
She did.
Suddenly, Becca wasn't following Katie anymore.
Ooh.
But I feel like this might have been a long time coming because, like, if you're happily in a relationship with Thomas, as Becca is, and his ex won't stop talking shit about him, I wouldn't necessarily like want to be friends with her on social media either.
I get it. Yeah. I'm actually like, that's, I mean, for me, that's where I when Katie came on this podcast, mm-hmm. and as I've mentioned, she was incredibly harsh about Thomas. Now, looking back, we now know she had really nothing to go on other than, and then we recorded that podcast literally moments after that episode aired where she showed up Thomas. And it seemed like she was doubling down on her justification of doing so. And essentially, not even essentially, she quite literally warned all of our listeners that Thomas was a bad guy. Like, yeah. Not like in bachelor context, yeah. But like in life.
For future,
well, I think
women.
To be fair to Katie, I think it's like, when asked about the question of like, do you think, you know, if Thomas is going to be in paradise, like, what do you think about it? So it wasn't, I just think it's...
No. I get, yeah, I asked the question, but...
But she still...
I was surprised, given
it.
Her platform and the climate we're in, that Katie was so cavalier with how she... What she said about Thomas, knowing that she doesn't know Thomas, like... at all.
Yeah. And I wonder if there's a certain degree of like Katie being like, I feel the wrath of the internet and like it's a dog eat dog world. So like if I'm being held to this crazy standard, I'm kind of going to like perpetuate it with other people.
I don't know
if that's the best approach.
I don't know what her motive is, but that would be, again, like she has a lot of power with her platform.
Right.
And her words matter whether we agree if they should or not. And
totally.
When you suggest that a man on this show is a threat to women,
but
that's
also
a bit cavalier. And
it feels
so,
like she's changed her mind over time, like flip-flopped.
Well, that's the thing though. Like,
because
so she
during
said,
Paradise, and Becca posted a photo that like wasn't from the show. I think it was like Thomas like wiping sand off her feet. Katie commented being like, the way like you look at him or whatever, like love, like basically implying how happy she was for them. So
yeah,
then
yeah,
clearly
yeah.
She was like pro Thomas.
Well,
and now she's doing like, I knew you were trouble. Like, it's like, I'm like,
where
is it?
I think you would think there would be some self-awareness or maybe, and again, we could all get caught up in the moment, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
But you would think there'd be some contrition or like, yeah, maybe I went too far. And so when you do your 12 days of messy, you don't go back to the well, despite it being low-hanging fruit, I guess.
Totally.
Given the fact that you maybe went on a podcast and went a little too hard to the paint about someone's character, and then have that be, you know, people warned me about you. Going back to that whole narrative that he's like somehow a bad guy. It's just like, yeah, it's a real... It's at best very messy and sloppy and inconsiderate about, like, they're talking about someone's character.
Yeah, I think it's also hard because, like, Thomas's big offense was sort of very specific to Bachelor World. It was admitting that he has considered The Bachelor, which, again, like, as we've discussed many times, is, like, not a crazy thing to admit. It's, like, honestly, everybody's at least thought about it or they're lying. But I think it's hard because it's, like, drawing conclusions from, like, a reality TV show. Like, to what extent can you say this is a trait that, like, carries over into the real world?
You can't, like, at all.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Also, like, I've actually met Thomas a few times now through him dating Becca. He was at Ben's wedding. He was at a Halloween.
He was at Ben's wedding?
Yeah. Well, because Becca was invited.
Oh, totally.
And I met him at a Halloween party that Natasha threw. And the more I get to know Thomas, and I still don't know him that well, is that my suspicions have been confirmed so far, is that he's just a big nerd who looks like he should be, like, some sort of Adonis charming guy.
Yeah.
And him, like, I went to the bathroom at the wedding, and in the lobby, him and Jared were arguing about, I don't think, Star Wars or something.
That's so endearing.
You know, like, again, he's just, I think Thomas's biggest crime is that he is a 6'5", really attractive guy who, you know, is a little awkward.
Yeah, well, I think it was also kind of what you were saying when you first met him on the group date about him, like, really turning on the charm. Like, I think he's, like, a very articulate, like, smart person. And I think sometimes he...
Well, I saw him try to turn on the charm.
Yeah.
I didn't find it charming.
Attempted.
I did judge him for how he looked. Is this tall, attractive guy. He walks in the room, you notice the guy, you know? And so you... Yeah, I think we all prejudged him by his attractiveness and assumed that he should, you know, with great power comes great responsibility.
So, with being 6'5" comes.
So yeah, if I'm Becca and, like, she's doing this 12 days of messy and then she is low key, if you're Thomas, you know what I'm saying? Like, we always hear all the shit talked about each of us. And it'd be, you know, after Katie came on this podcast, Thomas DM'd me, you know, you could tell he was bothered by it. Right. And it's just, you know, and then, like, you think it goes away, right? Maybe she's pretending to be supportive. And then all of a sudden she's like, people warned me about you. It's just like, you know, most people don't care and they move on. But if you're Thomas, you're probably, and rightfully so, extra sensitive about that. And then Becca was like, fuck this chick. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's so different for, like, someone talking shit about you. I think it's, like, much easier to be like, I need to take the high road versus, like, someone talking shit about someone you care about. It's like, no, get away. Absolutely not.
Yeah, there just seems to be a lack of, like, Katie thinking about how people are going to, what's this going to say about these guys that she, even if she's joking, you know? I mean, she went on national television and misdefined gaslighting. And now she's just out there. And whether they misdefine it or not, we all know that people are going to watch her 12 Days of Messy and read into it and make judgments about certain people.
I think it's hard because I think her whole, again, the whole thing that she's going for is just being this very, like, candid, honest person. And so while that has some benefits, it's like this, like, kind of like, I'm just going to kind of say whatever's on my mind and just, like, speak is, like, not as, in certain settings, does not translate well. And I think we've seen that.
Yeah, well, I guess Becca and Katie won't be friends.
Some of the guys from her season, I want to say it was, like, an Instagram Live, and I'm pretty sure it was Andrew, Greg, Justin, and Mike P. Mm. And Andrew at one point was like, Mike, like, what do you think about 12 Days of Messy? Mike had no idea that they were going on, what they were. And I was like, that's the most Mike P thing I've ever experienced.
What did the rest of the guys say?
Well, Andrew just started dying laughing about the fact that Mike didn't know what it was. I just saw a short clip, but I was like, little Mike. Protect Mike at all costs.
And her last one, she's not naming it. What is...
She's making it a two-dayer. So unless she's up... yesterday, day 11, there wasn't a name. And she said it would be like completed today.
Do you think she started it thinking it was like some amazing idea? And then like a quarter of the way through, like mixed reviews. And now she's just like, I can't quit.
Fuck, I have eight more
she's
left.
She's literally done a whole video. She's like, people keep messaging me about what the name is. Like she loves it. She loves it.
You know what? I think she's happy. And like, while I think it's fair to criticize, I feel like she's sticking to her guns and she's doing what she wants to do at the end of the day. And
God bless
gotta respect
her mess.
It on some level. Yeah, okay. God bless that
God
mess.
Bless both hers and Hannah Brown's mess. Let's see what else comes out in this book other than the Peter hookup.
Yeah, so she hooked up with Peter.
Yeah.
But that was after...
So apparently, Peter broke up with Hannah Ann in like January. Hannah and Dylan had their engagement party in February. All the producers at that point, Peter's season was still airing. They were like, don't go to this engagement party. Obviously, because like he was single at that point and it would have kind of ruined the ending of his season. He goes to the party, sees Hannah Brown. Apparently, they hook up. Then in March, on March 10th, he tried to get back with Maddie. That lasted until like March 12th. And then Kelly appeared. So God bless his mess, honestly.
Peter just calls that life. Yeah. He's like, I don't know. What's the problem?
Yeah.
I will say whatever you think about Peter, he is just kind of whatever,
does he just
man.
Pull like girls left and right. Is that his vibe? That shocks me.
What do you mean?
I don't know. He just doesn't seem like that.
I don't know him all that well. Oh. I think he just kind of just like...
He's just like, okay.
He's like a kind of, like, whatever, man. He doesn't have a care in the world. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. But what's... Because when it first came out, it was implied that maybe there was some...
Overlap.
Mm. But there wasn't. So if there wasn't
not
an overlap, then
what
like, whatever.
Hannah was just like a layover in between his flight from Hannah Ann to Maddie. Knows the Hannah Brown layover.
I would love to know what Barb thinks about this whole thing. His mom.
So wait, did Hannah go to Barb's house?
Huh?
Well, Peter lived with his parents in LA.
Oh, after the engagement party?
And then they said they went to Peter's, which is Barb's.
Imagine waking up,
God,
wearing Peter's like shirt or some shit and going to the bathroom and you run into Barb in her robe. Oh my God.
That's what I want to know about.
I want Barb to write a book. That's a book I'll actually buy.
All right, let's get into The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So wait, we start with...
We're down to eight.
Down to eight. Kids come in.
Kids.
Children. Oh my God.
Clayton's big
moment.
Come on. This was not Clayton's big. That was the weirdest. Ugh.
So yeah, the show wants us to, this whole like, I don't know why they do that. Like, is it, we're supposed to, like, do you think the producers want us to believe that Michelle's kids planned the week? There wasn't like a wink, wink, nod, nod that like, oh, the kids planned the dates. It was more, no, the kids planned the dates.
Yeah, very earnest.
Very earnest, which I guess.
Well, I think it's so funny because I think Michelle is someone who like obviously all the men respect so much that you could almost see they were like, any student of Michelle must be very good. They were all like very respectful of the children, which I really
level,
appreciated.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you meet Luke and you're like,
Luke is objectively,
oh my God, I understand
5
why.
Years younger than the rest of them. He's like half as tall. He
Some
doesn't,
of them didn't seem all like fifth graders.
No,
yeah.
Luke no. especially.
Different growth spurts.
Luke
though.
Is like...
You're kind of in that...
There's a range. Yeah.
I
real
love
range.
Luke, but there's no way that child is in fifth grade, I don't think.
Are you kidding? He was whipping out kind, patient, nice. Those were like his three buzzwords. That's how he described Michelle. It's how he described what he wants his wife to look like. He's got some good adjectives.
Clayton has big muscles for carrying the groceries. That's what he said. That was a good asset.
Once again, Clayton has... We get it. I'm just shocked that the batch ABC or the producers are... Like, we see it. They just want us to know.
It's
even the
so
kids. They're
obvious.
Just like telling the kids the same muscles. I don't just like...
Right.
Kelsey, props to Kelsey, who...
Called out
Martin's out
bullshit.
Martin.
It's just me and Kelsey. Off the bat, we knew.
Well, Martin, who turns to a fifth grader and goes,
I've had a lot of intimate and romantic experiences with your teacher. Like, yeah,
Martin,
you.
Martin's the guy. Martin's the guy who talks to kids like an adult.
He's like, and I have a VIP booth if you want a comp bottle. Feel God. Free to bring your friends.
I think the thing that this part of the episode showed me is that kids can say any two facts or like basic observations, and it is so hard hitting. Like Kelsey was like, Martin's trying to show off and he wears too much cologne. And it's like, boom, roasted Kelsey. Like something about those two like sentence, just saying those two very simple observations together. And you're like, God damn, she got him.
I wish she would have just said boom, roasted. Boom, roasted. Anyway, so the kids are planning the dates. Big, big reveal. They select. I mean, do you think this is all about the show trying to sell Clayton to us? That it was the, not only is Michelle happy that Clayton is selected for this one-on-one, but it's the kids who, you know, sense like a wonderful human. I mean,
the show sold me on Jaylene. Because I think she is coming for Tayshia and Caitlin's job. Did you see her drop that date card and go, good luck? Like, she like just kind of shrugged her shoulders to this entire group of adults. And she was like, good luck, boys. Like, she watches this show.
Yeah.
She nailed it.
Tayshia and Caitlin might be
out of a job.
Well, we didn't see them until like the rose ceremony this week.
I forgot who they were.
It's like, we forget that there's hosts sometimes. They do not show.
Well, Jaylene has shown
Jaylene
that, I guess.
Jaylene shined.
Even a fifth grader can do it. Yeah.
But like, to your, kind of what you were saying about Clayton, it's like interesting because it's like, had they chosen that he would be the bachelor before this moment? Because it's like, based off what?
Even yeah. after the date, based off what?
Have we ever had a, well, you know, again, since the show started casting previous people, I mean, I wish that we didn't, it wasn't leaked that Clayton was the bachelor, because I think the reaction either way is going to be a resounding, huh?
Sure.
And I feel bad because Clayton seems like a nice guy. This is not like an indication of like, we don't like Clayton.
It's no,
like,
he seems lovely.
Seems like a lovely guy. But like, it just doesn't make sense.
It's kind of like what you're saying, where it's like, he's like the bachelor pick 10 years ago. Like, oh, this guy who's been single for a really long time and doesn't know if he can open up again.
Like, but even then, there wasn't a compelling story. Usually, also, like, let's just look at the optics. I mean, this is the first season ever in the history of The Bachelor where they have a top four that is all people of color.
Totally. And yet.
And yet.
And yet, our Bachelor
is like
a mysterious white guy.
And mysterious.
Yeah. It's like, there's nothing.
I mean, it's just really bad. You know, you go through this whole, like, having more diversity, you have Michelle, a person of color, as your bachelorette. You have your first bachelor, Matt James.
You also have conversations on the show. Like, you have like Tayshia and Ivan talking about BLM. You have Michelle like sharing a lot of like very personal experiences about moving through the world as a woman of color.
Even on Bachelor in Paradise, so it's like having those conversations.
Right. And so yeah. It's like not only in optics, it's also like in content. And then
you typically pull, not always, but typically pull from your final four. Again, not always. They didn't with Katie. They didn't with Hannah Brown. But with Katie, Katie shined. Katie got ton of airtime. She had a strong fan base. Totally. Hannah Brown was a little bit more of a surprise, but certainly you saw the personality.
Exactly.
She had the same like messy quality we were talking about. Like yeah. The Caitlin, the Katies.
And yeah. with Clayton, it's just... It's like we never saw him like at all.
Even we on always his one-on-one. I don't feel like I saw him
barely at all. It
we
was
just like
a
saw
lot
him
of
smile.
A lot of platitudes.
Everything he said was very like tied up with a bow. Good statement. Like could run for office. But I was like, what is beneath the surface here, Clayton?
Yeah.
It's like, I will say the one moment where I was like, okay, Clayton, was when he was dancing. He was dancing like a little freak and I loved it. Did you see him dancing at the museum?
The
like
mating
what he
call.
Was doing?
The like, little mating call.
He like went for it. He was like,
yeah,
doing his thing.
Great. I mean, it's just, I'm really curious what, if people are going to, I'm sure some people will, but like just a really bad look to cast Clayton, knowing that he gave us nothing. He's been outshined by virtually everybody.
Everyone.
Totally.
You have your first all person
non-white.
Not all your first non-white all final non-white four. Final four of four incredibly charismatic and charming.
Oh my God.
All four characters I'm personally invested in and individually want to find love. I mean, like Rodney, oh my God.
Oh my God. And I think you could tell that because the Brandon? Episode started out with Rodney being like, I can only imagine how Michelle's feeling right now. This must be really hard for her. Like he is consistently so funny and easygoing while also being so substantive. Like, and he has a great smile. Like Rodney would be a spectacular bachelor.
And then Clayton, somewhere in his conversation with Michelle, was essentially like, yeah, I wasn't really even dating.
Well, he said, he was like, I over the last 5 years, I've just been trying to impress people and make them think I was good enough. Now I'm able Classic. To like stop worrying and comparing myself to others. But yeah, he like implied he has been single for 5 years and he's like, I like pursued an MBA because I thought that would make me happy. But now I'm realizing like, I basically have to pull someone into my life to make me happy. It's not going to be an MBA.
I thought he said NBA. And I was like last ditch effort.
He
I was like,
basketball.
Even though he played football, I was like last ditch effort to like try and get Michelle where he's going to be like, and I considered playing in the NBA. Am I Joe?
Maybe. I just don't know, like people are invested in him.
Well,
at all.
Even like I flagged, they were doing like the butterfly question things and Michelle was like, I give and I give and I give. And like, that's something I'm proud of, but it can also be my downfall. Like, she was trying to kind of open that door. And instead of like providing his own example or saying like something about him, he's like, the world needs more people like that. And I hope to be that way as well. And that's why I admire you the most. And I want to pick up from you. And I'm experiencing so much growth because of that. And Michelle just goes,
very platitude, very
like,
basic.
Oh, like Michelle literally was like, oh, like she had no interest.
Yeah, I will say like, even I agree that like Clayton is speaking in platitudes. And like, again, had we not been watching this only through the lens of like being like, why is he the bachelor? Like, please earn it in some way, shape or capacity, sir. Like, I will say it does at least come across as genuine with him. Like, I don't think he's being dishonest.
Oh, he seems like a nice guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But interesting enough, if we didn't know he was the bachelor,
I think we would have watched it totally.
Yeah. It would have been, you know how when we watch the show and we get to like this week of the season where it's like the final six and all of a sudden you're like, who the fuck's that guy? That's what we would be saying about Clayton.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'd be like, oh, who's the big guy who's like, you wouldn't know his name.
He smiles.
Like
the ultimate Viking.
Yeah. You wouldn't know. We would pay no attention to him.
Right. But we've been honed in on him.
Because we know he's the bachelor.
Totally.
Yeah. We're more critical now.
Then somehow, you know, Brandon, not good enough. Rodney, Nate, Joe, you know, whoever Michelle doesn't end up with. And then you got Nate. I mean, charming.
Oh my God.
So charming. Heartthrob.
Absolute heartthrob.
Like, you'd think women would be lined up to date Nate.
But I'm starting to maybe question Nate, not like question him. I think before I was just so charmed by him. And now I'm starting to be a little bit more like,
Well, Nate is, I agree with you because like, let's say, well, we know none of them are The Bachelor, your top four. And whoever Michelle doesn't end up with, I would suspect those three gentlemen would also end up on Paradise.
Totally.
And every time we watch Paradise, we're always looking for, who is the guy? Who's the Brandon? Who's the Blake of this season? The heartthrob, good guy, front runner that everyone thought was super sweet and charming. That person thought, I didn't get the Bachelor last time for whatever reason, but everyone loves me. So I'm going to come down and be, this is my Bachelor audition. They get sloppy. They're in a bunch of DMs. They come down like there's no way. They're not going
like
to be loved.
Invincible.
And Nate is by far.
Totally. The most likely.
Most likely to be that person.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And not because he's a bad guy. He's not Martin. I mean,
Martin
has proven to be one of the worst ones of, the stuff he said was so shocking. Like right up there with Skip.
I would argue Martin's worse than Skippy.
Yes, because I would agree. Because, you know, for all the conversations we've had over the past year, you know, the Greg, and the gaslighting conversations and the reaction to, you know, Greg being upset, which I would think that most people were, the people who are critical of Greg is because they thought, they didn't believe Greg's sadness. They just thought it was some sort of act.
Well, I think they also, I think there was also an argument like that it was misdirected, that he like took his stuff and instead of like processing it.
Again, but based off of like his, and we've all handled fights poorly.
Sure.
Right. But Martin very much looks like the guy, despite we try to suggest that maybe we shouldn't be using words like gaslighting and love bombing. But Martin looks like the poster child for the guy who is capable of being the emotional abuser that we all are like trying to identify out there.
And like sniff out.
The guy who's so quick to like make everything your fault.
Totally.
To think that you are the crazy one because you're simply trying to express your emotions.
And he doesn't just make an accusation. He like runs a campaign to like discredit Michelle.
And especially when at a time where he feels threatened or losing, you know, not because he's emotionally caught up in a crazy world and grasping at straws, trying to process his emotions. He is being criticized a little bit and immediately trying to flip the switch and making it. I mean, it's wild, his willingness to say what he did on national television while seemingly not all that upset, seemingly not out of control of his emotions. And not that it's in any way there's no excuse of getting mad and reacting poorly, but we have all gotten mad, reacted poorly and been like, ugh.
And what comes after that is you cool off and then you're like,
I'm embarrassed.
And I'm embarrassed at the way I behave.
And depending on how frequent that happens, certainly we can assess like whether there's a real issue there or not. But Martin is a guy who, he didn't seem all that mad. He seemed maybe a little embarrassed.
Yeah, it was like not a crime of passion. Like it was very premeditated and very like careful.
Yes.
The way he was like just like finding so many ways to linguistically like undermine Michelle and make it question her and like question her integrity. And the way he kept being like it's a miscommunication that he's only going to attribute to Michelle. And it's like, bro, miscommunication is between two people. And you're
only
blaming it on her.
100% Michelle's fault.
And also, if Michelle's involved, it's your fault. Like, literally, it's your fault. Name one other time. Like, the way he's sort of, like, making it seem like, finding any excuse to, like, find, like, a crack a la All Too Well. Like, when Clayton's on his one-on-one. And he's like, Martin is like, well, if he comes back, I'm really going to question Michelle's judgment.
When he said he'd been questioning her decisions up until that point. And he even delivered it so rudely to the guys. He goes, I don't know if you guys are aware. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but hometowns are next week.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know if you're paying attention.
Yeah. And he's like, I've just been like questioning some of these roses that Michelle has been giving out. So if Clayton doesn't come home, I won't be questioning those as much.
No, I've like, landed on that Martin is that the smallest of dick energy. He is soft. He is small inside. And when he feels threatened, this is how he very passively, aggressively, like, will criticize you and break you down. Like, yeah, if my sister was dating Martin, that would be like, we record this early. I think there'll be a hatred towards Martin, but I don't think there'll be the vitriol. Like, I don't think I don't know if people will be as triggered by Martin as they have been by other people. I'm curious. And I think they should be. For all the triggering that goes on when we watch this show, like it's so subtle, but so like obvious how Martin handles and will break down people in his life if he feels threatened or
totally,
you know.
Well, I think part of it is like the surprise. And it's like, I will be the first to say, I totally pegged Martin wrong and correctly. I was like, he takes off his glasses so suave. He has a nose piercing, like wonderful. But then it was like the second he started defending Jamie to Michelle on like Martin and Michelle on their one-on-one, he's defending his friend who left. Like that's, I feel like it's been a long time coming. And I think so often when we see this like big reaction to people, it's people who it's like, it feels like a betrayal and it feels shocking versus like Martin has been like slowly slinking his way into douchebaggery up until this point on the show. And then it really came to a head.
Yeah.
Martin's the kind of guy who like will not go down on you unless you have showered. like, he just seems like such, and he seems like the kind of guy who like talks such a big game about like being like such a good man, such an empathetic man and a good
lover.
Such
a good lover.
And then,
and then when you don't orgasm, it's your fault.
Totally.
I even wrote that down like during their group date. Based on what he was doing with the cows, I was like, he's not a generous lover. He doesn't even want to touch it.
I love how one of the Bachelor's like signature things is like, we're going to show up someone from Miami with a country style date. Like they did it on your season with Corinne.
Did it bring you like flashbacks to your farm date? Can we just,
I mean, flashbacks, but it was like, okay,
Clayton goes home, moving on to the group date. Is that what we're doing? Bye, Clayton.
Our Bachelor goes home.
Bye. Okay, moving on.
Oh, no, wait, hold on.
Should we talk about the letters?
Yeah, we talk about the letters.
Okay, oh my God.
Was he crying? Because it looked like he was told to cry.
Uh-huh.
Because clearly, obviously, the whole letter was, I think we might make him our Bachelor.
From a production standpoint, was this filmed the morning after? Or was this filmed like a month ago?
There's a strong possibility that letter from the kids was filmed months after.
That's what I was wondering.
Totally.
They pull Kelsey out of class again. They're like, hey, sweetie, remember the Fort Man? Write him a letter. And that also points to Luke being 5 years younger than everyone else because Kelsey has this beautiful, tiny handwriting. And it's like, dear Clayton.
Who wrote the letter?
Kelsey had one and Luke had the other. And you open up Luke's and it's like, you are good man. XOXO Luke.
To be fair, Kelsey was rocking with lined paper. Luke was going blank page, freehanding it.
Yeah. Let's not pick on the kids here.
Allie is like, that is not fifth grade level handwriting to me. Where's the cursive?
It's not.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't one to talk in a fifth grade level. But yes, there is a... We know that they were strongly interested in Michael. We know that they were interested in Greg. Also, by the way, they passed on Andrew. The producers felt that somehow Clayton was more suitable for The Bachelor.
Would be a better face of the franchise. Yeah.
Whatever. I don't know. Yeah. But yes, strong pot. So when they were filming this, they, I think, were very much... I think Clayton left after they decided he was the Bachelor. And this moment was very much because they decided he was going to be the Bachelor.
Right.
It felt like a hard sell.
While I don't know for sure at all, there's a strong possibility that Clayton reading these letters from the kids happened months
in the middle of filming later. His season. They already had the cameras rolling. They're like, hey, you know what we can do here?
Which would be like why he kept sniffing. He would, and then he would wipe right below his eyes.
Yep.
And I wasn't seeing anything. And then maybe for one shot, I saw a little bit of gloss in the eye.
Yeah. He was definitely at first. He was definitely
crying.
We've
made a TikTok of Nick, quote unquote, crying. We just threw water from the sink on his face. They could. There's some tricks. I mean,
there is Visine floating around Bachelor Nation.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
You heard it here first. Folks.
I also just want to say,
I can't be the first one to suggest that people have
fake cried on reality TV.
Never.
It's hard hitting. We broke the story.
I mean, and Clayton mentioned that he's like hasn't cried in forever. I would argue that he still has yet.
I agree.
Cry.
It's like really crying.
And again, as sweet as these wonderful kids are, I don't know if I would, and I would cry over any like moment, like a commercial I can get teared up on if it's like a big moment.
Totally.
But
if there's an animal, especially.
But like, you know, I hope you go, I hope you aren't sad from a kid. I just don't know if that
it's like, yeah, he makes great farts and has big muscles. And then Clayton's crying. But I think there's something about the like, please don't be sad that like really, I think the reason he was crying is because I think he was like in that moment realizing that he was going to open.
You think those were real tears?
Yeah. And I think
knowing that there's at least 50% chance that he filmed it, let's say 4 weeks after he got sent home.
Yes.
With a woman he had almost no connection with.
After his
and
first
about
date.
14 minutes of conversation.
Yes. Because I think he was like,
after which he was asked to be the Bachelor.
Yes. It's like, listen, was it convenient timing for the tears? Yes. But I think as we saw in his limo interview, his whole thing was he was like, it just sucks when you know, the classic, it sucks when you open yourself up and get hurt like this. It makes me want to close myself off again. And then I think the reason he was crying so much is like, please don't be sad, is because he was realizing that he was like going to have to eventually get himself out of this, and that he was going to have to try again because he really wants kids and he knows he wants this. And that I think he was like crying, like just at the sheer emotional prospects of the future and knowing that he has like a long road ahead of him.
He doesn't have a long road ahead of him. He's going to find some like basic, boring Midwestern woman. And
do we think that seeing the kids and getting the letter made him realize he wants kids so bad? Because that would almost be a red flag.
He also said to Michelle after they met the kids, he was like, I couldn't remember the last time I was around kids.
Like, did he say that?
Yeah. As he was getting in the limo, he's like, I like was trying to remember if I was good at it. I didn't know how to hang out with them, so I built a fort.
But he was good. He built a fort. Amazing move. Amazing move.
Also, not entirely sure that was his idea.
Sure. Sure.
It might have been. Unclear.
Yeah. I think
we have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
But knowing that he was selected as the bachelor, it's fair to wonder how much help he might have gotten. And since we didn't see much of Clayton a la personality, you know.
I wonder if, and you can tell me like how accurate this is, but like how much of it is like the way that people interface with production? Because he seems like the kind of guy who would be really polite and really considerate to like, whenever he was doing like the confessionals or whatever else, like he seems like he would be a real delight to work with. It could that be a factor as to why they chose him?
Sure.
Yeah.
But they've also,
again, it makes no sense.
They've casted pains in the asses before. It's a nice to have,
but it's not a deal maker.
But yeah. Yeah. Oof. And then, you know, like again, like when I say like, what we don't know if it was Clayton's idea, like when it, like it's a love, the Bachelor is a love story, right? They want to have romantic moments, and sometimes you cast people who come up and say, you know, Brandon's the type of guy who is probably constantly thinking of sweet gestures to do for Michelle. You know, when I was on Andy season, you know, some people thought it was like weird, but I wrote that like fairy tale and drew those pictures, and it was like my idea. It was my idea to get her flowers. There are plenty of people who go on that show and are full of great ideas, and they go to producers and they're asking what they can do. And there's a lot of other people who either it just doesn't come naturally, it's not their vibe, or they're too nervous. And sure, the producers are like, hey man, like, have you ever, what about this? And they throw my ideas, and which is totally fine. You know, like you're trying to make a show.
Yeah.
And it just seems like Clayton is someone who he's just a puppet.
Yeah, he's a figurehead.
You know, and they're like, hey, here's some pillows and blankets. Walk in there and say, let's make a fort. The big old teddy bear.
Yeah.
And that's what they're hanging their hat on. But, and I, you know, you look at someone like Brandon. And when Michelle said, I know how Brandon loves, I thought that was such a like a really nice moment. And I knew exactly what Michelle was talking about when she said that. Right? Like, because you see this Brandon, and every moment Brandon is like, you could tell he loves hard. And maybe there's like a part of his youthfulness. He's not that young. He's like 26. He's not that young.
But the way he talks, I think, makes him sound younger.
Yeah. He talks like he's a very romantic guy, and he talks like he loves hard. He's a passionate man.
Like, I don't know that Brandon is as like, I don't know that he's super like articulate. Like, I agree that he comes off as incredibly genuine. And I think you can visibly see like he thinks Michelle is just so out of his league, and he is so goddamn lucky for every second he
gets
to be next.
What do you mean he's not articulate?
I just feel like he's like, I think of Michelle as someone who's like so thoughtful. I can like really beautifully like point out specific details and like just find really like clever ways to describe and present a situation. And I feel like with Brandon, I feel like he was like very, very sweet, but I don't think he said anything that was like not super generic.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, he's not like, it wasn't like with Joe when he talked about, granted, it wasn't Joe's line. Joe got it from someone else, but he still, it had an impression on Joe to the point where he remembered and related, which is great things come from pain
on
or
the other side of pain.
Other side of pain, yeah. Right? Beautiful. And so, yeah, but I just think at least Brendan has the passion.
But it's not even like big sweeping lines like that. Like, I don't need line. It's Brandon is like, really like Michelle and I da, da, da. Like, he's not saying anything real. I don't need like sweeping gestures. I don't need these like cinematic lines. I need him to like actually speak about real things and like understand like what his life with Michelle is going to look like. He has a very like youthful energy. And even when he was talking with Michelle's parents, I'm like, tell me something real. Like, tell me actually what's going on other than the Swedish fish and the kisses.
Again, I just think when you look at when Michelle said, I know how Brendan loves, I looked at a guy who, you know, was raised in a way where you can tell he grew up, like this is my impression, like he grew up in a house where he was raised to be a provider, nurturer, caregiver, or whatever. So, and a lot of guys will say that, right? But he will pride himself over like turning the video games off when his girlfriend's like, hey man, can we spend some time together? And he'll
throw his Xbox out the window.
Yeah.
He'd be like, obviously.
You know, and he prides himself over going to the grocery store and seeing the bouquet of flowers and grabbing the flowers. And again, while maybe not overly deep or articulate, and again, I'm not saying he's not, but I get what you're saying. He's not necessarily dropping like, I've never heard something like that before. But he, you know, comes from a place of wanting to, he's thoughtful and he seems to at least be present when he is having these moments. And where like someone like Clayton seems like a nice guy.
Yeah.
But he also seems like the type of guy, if we're just like assuming, like just kind of like painting a, like if Clayton represents a certain type of guy, it's like the nice guy that you like settle down with in the Midwest, but he's got like passions of hunting and fishing and lifting weights and like packing his own lunch. And like, he'll be nice on a first couple dates, but once you settle into the relationship, like his passions will be not necessarily getting flowers or, you know, taking you to the ballet or doing that. But like, he's going to be like, oh, babe, I'm going fishing, you know, like, and I could be wrong, but that's how it comes across where his.
And you think Brandon's passion will never die?
I think Brandon seems like a guy who grew up dreaming about loving someone in a very special way. Mm. And
that's really sweet. Yeah.
And Clayton, I don't think has thought about that at all.
We don't know that.
We don't, but it seems.
Brandon might just be more open to like sharing that part of him. I feel like Brandon's a very like transparent.
Something you
dude.
Might like want from your bachelor.
Yeah. I'm not agreeing that Clayton should be our bachelor.
You know what you're looking for in a bachelor? Poker face. Yeah. Generic lines. Poker face and platitudes.
Someone's like, I guess I hope I get married someday.
Yeah. Like I want to be a dad. Groundbreaking. Yeah.
Like, I want to be a dad.
But he just realized that because he just encountered kids for the first time in 5 years.
Yeah.
I think the thing with Brandon is that like, it feels like very like puppy love and in a way that feels, and I never question the authenticity of it. Like, I think it's so real. I think he feels it 500%. I think he's like burning with love for Michelle, but I'm like, what comes after the puppy love? And I think part of the pro with Brandon is that he seems like the kind of person who would genuinely maintain a little glimmer of that even when he's 80.
Yes.
But I don't know that that's enough to like, I don't know that he would develop kind of the other things necessary for, like, I think he would, you know how Michelle was like, I'm always kind of the one who's like coaching and I want someone who can like coach me. Like, I think Brandon would support her, but I don't know that he would coach her.
Correct. Yeah,
because he's drooling over her. He's like, looks up to her.
I don't think she's going to pick Brandon. Her. Yeah.
Yeah. Who do you think?
Amanda picked Brandon when we had Michelle on.
You did.
Yeah.
I say shit to stir up the pot. I feel like it's very important to have
balance.
You got to have some balance. I do actually, I think after this episode, I was like, I think Rodney has a really good shot.
I do. Yeah. I think Rodney.
I love Rodney. Rodney is the new Justin. Justin's facial expressions are Rodney's phrases. Like during the Viking date last week when someone was eating the food, he goes, is it crunchy? It's crunchy. And like at the farm, he's like, oh, Bessie, we can't lose the milk.
Look me in the eye.
Like literally, he's like the new Justin facial expressions, but what he says.
I could see Michelle picking Rodney.
I love him.
Because I also think with Rodney, it's like you have the same quality that you have in Brandon of like, you know that like he just thinks the world of Michelle. And there's not a doubt in his mind that if he like got to be with Michelle, he would be the luckiest person and he would act accordingly every day. Like, I think they have that in common. And then with Rodney, I think you have just like a little bit more, like just a little bit more personality. Like, I think like with Brandon, it's so his whole personality is the puppy love. And it's really effective. He's gotten group date roses. But with Rodney, it's like, yeah, like with the cows, just in general, like he's having a good time and he has some like, you know, you can see him joke around a little bit more.
Their secret handshake. He made a secret handshake with Michelle and Ahmed, the kid. He's really into his secret handshakes.
Yeah, no, we love Rodney.
Rodney from Bachelor.
Shout out to Ahmed for sitting down with
I still
Rodney.
Think it's Joe.
Asking about the nipples.
And asking about shaving the nipple.
And I respected the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which I think for most, yeah, it was like, yeah. Yes, sometimes. I have, sometimes.
On a special occasion.
Mm-hmm. You think he went into the detail with the fifth grader who's like, listen, the thing about nipple hair for men,
I feel like he might
grow slowly.
They had a very like big brother, little brother energy. Like, let me help you out, dude. This is what you do with your nipple hair.
Rodney, I feel like, is the guy who like at Thanksgiving like comes over to the kids' table and everybody like freaks out and starts like cheering and there's like a bunch of kids hanging off of them. Like, he just has a good energy.
100%.
Again, what does Clayton have that Rodney doesn't?
Nothing.
Zero.
And scene. Mic drop. Can we speak to someone? Can we pitch Rodney?
I'm also like, I feel like they're really setting up like on the group date, the way they were showing Nate and Joe kind of going head to head. I feel like they really are kind of setting up a Nate Joe finale.
Because Nate even said, he was like, Joe beat me at milking the cow. He beat me at the baby cows. There's got to be something I can beat him at. And then it was like, enter poop.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. Again, I think Brennan goes home next is my guess.
Really?
Yeah.
You think Brandon goes home before Rodney?
Yes.
Well, it's also like...
For the same reasons I think, like Amanda pointed out, I think there's a puppy love there. I think Michelle means what she says when she says, I know how Brandon loves. And I think Michelle sees that, loves that about him, but not
but
for her.
I don't think he could challenge her.
I don't know if there's a mutual respect. I mean, there's a respect for Brandon, but I don't know if they're on the same wavelength. I think Michelle is probably self-aware enough to be flattered by Brandon, love how she makes her feel, but isn't necessarily challenged. I think Michelle maybe might feel a little bit more, she has too much power dynamic in this relationship.
Totally.
I mean, she's already the bachelorette, right? So there's a power dynamic there. And I think in that world, you want someone who can shine to the point where you're like, fuck, you make me feel a little... like I'm chasing you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's important for whether you're the bachelor or the bachelorette. And I think Brandon is missing that. So I think he goes home next. And then I would suspect
Rodney,
even though I think he could surprise us and it wouldn't shock me. But I don't see how. I think the Nate and I think Nate and Joe, especially in that world, knowing having like you kind of land on your top two, it is hard. In reality, even though the show always talks about, the leads talk about, like, I always, like, I, you know, I waited. And, like, even Tayshia was like, I didn't know Zach existed until, like, I don't buy any of that, right? And I think it's natural to, like, be drawn to one or two people. And it's really, really hard to, unless you really fuck it up, to, like, be... You know, like, I think Rodney surprised her. Like, again, Rodney's, like... Raven was for me, you know, like night one, you know, I didn't really pay too much attention to Raven.
Well, but she wasn't wearing an apple.
Whatever. But I'm saying once, you know, I started talking to Raven, I was like, shoot, she's awesome. She's cool. I felt a mutual respect. I trusted her. I enjoyed talking to her. I felt like we were on the same level, but she just never could, like, I was already all in with Vanessa kind of thing, right? And I just feel like that's where Rodney is with Michelle. And I do think now it's more Joe, because I do think Nate, I think eventually Michelle will be like, while sweet and wonderful and charming and great, Nate has that kind of like, fuckboy energy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was going to say, I feel like it's Nate's to lose, but I think he might. Like, I think he'll lose it. Like,
yes.
I think it takes one slip up, because I think up until this point, it's like you can kind of tell that they have this like wonderful chemistry.
Well,
like,
Joe's a slower burn too, being more introverted and quiet, but and well, Michelle will talk about it a little bit tomorrow. I think with the slower burn people, the introverted, the quiet, once you get them alone, more one-on-one time, fantasy suite, I think those are the moments where she really will feel like, and then Joe White, you know, an introverted, quiet guy, like has their moments, right? You can be that like ambivert person, which especially in a setting like The Bachelor, you get more drawn to be quiet. You're not the first to speak or whatever. But like when you get a little more comfortable, you start showing
show some personality.
And then once Joe shows that, I think that will really be it for Michelle.
And I think she trusts Joe. I think she and Joe have like been building trust on this trip. And, you know, she even said, like, you remind earlier, she said the way he's kind of quiet reminds me of my dad. Yeah. So you see, it's kind of setting up that he's this like much more like substantive, like slow, like carefully built connection versus with Nate. It's like there's just this raw chemistry. But I think it's got to be really scary to be like, what if this shatters? And like, what do I know about Nate? And how much do I feel like I can like trust him when he is so charming? I think it's really hard to trust charismatic people.
There's also an element of, and we've praised Nate for this, how, you know, when Jamie was doing his bullshit and Nate was so like unthreatened.
Like nonchalant.
Nonchalant. There's an element of like, maybe he just doesn't care all that much, you know?
But he clearly cared about Joe at this date.
Enough to like make a joke about being out. I didn't get any like Nate's truly threatened by Joe. Where like I think they're friends.
Yeah,
I think
we haven't seen Nate.
I think Nate and Joe quite like each other.
Well, I think they both. I think there's sort of this like mutual understanding where I think both of them have felt very secure in their connection with Michelle from an early. Like they feel like they found their footing early, and so I think the two of them that's sort of like okay, we're in a similar boat.
Yeah, so I do think, but that energy that too cool for school. Feeling, I think, as the season progresses, you're kind of like, why are you too cool for school?
It's like, it's very, like, again, it's like, I don't think it's like fake, but I do think it's like disconcerting. Like, we haven't seen Nate be like truly humbled on the show. Like, everything rolled, and like, part of that is to his credit. Like, he let all the Skippy stuff just like absolutely roll off his back. No stress, was like, I know Michelle's going to handle it. But I do think had we seen Nate be a little bit more shaken, I would have a lot more
on that date. I will say that.
But more because of Skip.
But he didn't. Yeah. He was frustrated. He was agitated, but he wasn't insecure. He wasn't threatened at any point in time. And I think I would feel a lot more secure with Nate's like good energy, charisma, if I'd seen the other side of him. But I feel like the part of it is that it's like, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what an insecure Nate looks like because he's got the first impression rose. He's like been very confident this whole time. And like, I think Nate's the kind of person who has like, you know, he works in sales. He's super tall. He's super good looking. He has just like really good energy. I think he's the kind of guy who things tend to go right for, which is not a knock against him. But it makes me wonder like what happens when things go wrong. Like,
what
how do you
say
behave?
About Thomas with great
power comes great responsibility?
It's like the same thing. You're too attractive, Nate. Show me some vulnerability.
Well, and to your point, I think I agree with you in a sense that I think Nate probably is a really nice, great guy. I mean, I don't know him at all, but there hasn't been any kind of crack in the armor.
And like, you need a crack.
And I can see cracks when people can't see cracks on this show. And I just can't see a crack with Nate. Like he just, and it doesn't mean it's not there, but he could just be not as into Michelle as Joe is. And I think eventually Michelle can sense that.
Totally.
Right. And maybe she already does.
Yeah. And I think especially like if Michelle's so much of what she's shared as like being like kind of her big core thing that she's working with as her insecurity is like feeling overlooked. I think like Nate is the kind of guy who's never been overlooked. Like he's so charismatic and hot. And so I wonder if there's, even though now Michelle is charismatic, hot and so much more, like I wonder if there's a certain like dynamic there of being like, can you relate to me in a way where Joe is like more quiet and, you know, he's opened up about like more adversity.
I think Joe's the yin to Michelle's yang. I think they are a good balance of opposites, but also plenty of reasons to relate to one another.
Totally.
Right? Like it's a nice fit where Nate, like we said, sexy, charming, they're both kind of extroverted. You know, they might step over each other in that sense. Nate might not have the ability to really dig deep which eventually I think Michelle likes and needs
totally.
In a partner.
The substance. Because you see the way, and also with Joe, it's like the little things where he's like so good with the calves. Like watching him bottle feed the calf on the group date, I was like, this is a tender man. But then you also see how like the basketball date.
It's just the little things, like him caring for farm animals that will never happen again in our relationship.
Here's a wrinkle. Rodney could be top two.
I agree.
I think Nate could go home third.
Yeah.
Joe versus Rodney.
Yeah. I think that's possible.
That would be
the realization of Nate being like a nice guy, but like, you know, not something that when it gets down to like engagement talk, like Michelle's just like trying to pull from Nate and Nate just can't
but
get
Nate
there for
said
whatever reason.
He was into her. He was like, I'm falling for you. Like, da, da, da. Like we sure. had that whole conversation. We're acting like he's not made his intentions clear or like his emotion toward her clear.
We're acting like when it gets down to talking about actual engagement and things move in hyperspeed, you go from like, you know, at this point of the season, the producers, you know, hometowns are going to meet your family. And they're going to the conversations around engagement and marriage are going to start being like nonstop and things will get that much more serious.
And you think Joe's going to be completely fine with that?
I just think Michelle, specifically with Nate, there's a chance that when things get really serious and he has to start talking about futures and planning and engagement, right. he'll say all the right things.
But Michelle won't believe him.
It won't be like Martin or Jamie saying wrong
totally.
Things. It'll come across as nice. We won't really know, but I think at the end of the day, Michelle might just be, but I feel safer and I believe Rodney more than I believe Nate. And sometimes I think, depending on if like the next bachelor is not part of the equation, I think sometimes the lead wants to send home the Nates sooner to make their final decision a little easier on themselves. You know, because like maybe like Rodney is always like the person that's been kind of surprised. Like Michelle's never really thought she's going to pick him.
Totally.
But every time she hangs out with Rodney, she's just like, this guy just keeps fucking showing up. He keeps
yes.
fucking showing up.
Well, but it's like Justin in Katie's season. Suddenly Justin was like top two.
Yeah.
We're like, where's he been?
And so he'll never pass Joe. But to help Michelle solidify her decision for Joe over Nate, she will pick Rodney over Nate.
That's interesting because I feel like if it's Nate and Joe in the final, she'd go with Joe because of the gut feeling of the,
way,
like, knowing she
I think
trust.
Either way she's going to pick Joe.
But
I could see
her picking Rodney over Joe.
Again, we agree.
Because I think
we agree nothing would surprise not, that wouldn't
yeah.
surprise us. We acknowledge that wouldn't be the biggest upset in the history of the Bachelorette.
Totally.
But I'm still picking Joe.
Okay. Yeah, I hear. I think it's just like you see how like beautifully their lives would blend together.
Yeah, it just makes a lot of sense.
It just makes a lot of sense. They're so like, and you also, she was horny when Joe was playing basketball. Like I
was horny when Joe was playing basketball.
Everybody.
Joe's beautiful.
Joe's beautiful. And he is like,
he has those quiet, piercing eyes.
Oh my God.
I also wish I could wear jewelry like Nate.
Yeah.
That nose ring. I was watching that. Really tight. And then the cross. Earring?
Sure. Yeah, it's like Nate is from Austin in a big way.
That's why can we talk about Olu for a second?
Yeah.
The first time I think in the history of the show, he snitched in a likable way.
He snitches every episode, but it was finally worthwhile.
But like you're never like, oh, fucking snitch. You're like, I really like Olu.
So much integrity.
Oh my God.
So much integrity on Olu.
I mean, he's a little like gossipy, but it was like for a good reason this episode, but he's done that every episode. Every time someone goes on a one-on-one, I hope they don't come back.
He does it in a way that makes me feel like this is more about high character rather than about his insecurity. And maybe he has me fooled.
And I feel like him, like the facade of him talking shit is more a reflection of how obedient he would be in a producer interview where they're like, so do you hope he comes back? Like, I feel like Olu would just like follow instructions and be like, I hope he doesn't come back. I don't think he's going to come back.
No, I think he's a little sassy. He's too, no.
I think that's a part of it, but I don't think
he's got like, me sold it that his decision to snitch is more about he's actually being a protective, nurturing type of soul rather than selling it as protecting, but really just insecure.
And you could tell when Martin was saying all the fuck shit that he was like, the way you could see in Olu's eyes that he was like really upset
angry
that someone was talking about his girlfriend that way.
Also, I don't think you'd accuse Olu of being insecure when he showed up knowing there's a 50-50 chance he goes home wearing that blazer.
Oh my God.
I don't know. That's a confident man.
Bold.
No one's saying he's insecure.
Well,
I said he was a little snitch. He's a little gossipy bitch, but I didn't say he was insecure.
That is an insecure person.
Totally.
If you're a gossipy, snitchy little bitch.
New merch.
That's coming from a place of insecurity.
100%.
I don't know. I want to ask him some questions.
He's got me.
If he was secure enough, maybe he'd be doing the Nate thing where it's like, oh, I'm not going to even talk about it. I'm not going to acknowledge it. I'm so above it.
But he's not, it's not about, it's just that he knows he's not Rochelle's, like, he's aware of the lack of connection.
Is he?
Again, that's what I think. I could be wrong. I don't think Olu has the ability to come to paradise and be a villain.
Not at all.
No, I don't think so.
Although I don't know that I would have said Ivan had the ability to come to paradise and be a villain, you know?
I don't think Ivan was. I did. Well,
I don't think he was like necessarily a villain, but he was definitely like at the center of some drama.
But to that point, I could have seen Ivan is very confident in himself. You could suggest cocky.
I think we're saying this after Paradise. I feel like if we remember, like I just remember.
You guys weren't here, but when I interviewed him, there was a guy who believed in his abilities. And for a lot of reasons, rightfully so, but that can easily come across as cocky on reality TV.
Sure.
So like, I wasn't mind blown that we saw this hyper confident person who, I don't see that from Olu. I don't know. And I guess, like, oh, Rick, I guess he goes home.
Rick.
And like, Rick.
Still, we know more about Rick
than we do
Clayton. And I'm more invested in Rick's love story. Than Clayton.
And Rick looks like he's always about to pass out. And so that's really saying something.
Rick like was an extra on the Vampire Diaries back in the day.
Who would you rather date? Rick or Clayton? Who would you rather hook up with?
Clayton. I feel like I'd break Rick.
What?
Like, he looks small and sad.
He does look a little fragile.
Emotionally fragile.
No,
I don't think he's
physically
fragile.
He looks a little waifish.
Constantly looks like he's given blood. I feel like, I don't know. I don't think either of them are guys.
You don't get to see none of them.
Yeah, this is not like, would you sleep with either of them? It's who would you rather hook up with?
Okay, would you rather? Okay.
You're a desert island. You're like, you got two options of men.
It's the only way you survive is by having sex.
I don't know.
Who'd you rather go on a date with?
Well, I just feel like there's a chance that Clayton's really bad in bed. Not from a bad way, but just from like a...
Just be hyper athletic.
Yeah. Like, I feel like Clayton could rush the foreplay. And like, he could not, you know? I'm not saying this definitively, but
He doesn't read as generous,
like suave,
in the moment.
Well, yeah, because we haven't seen him have any chemistry with Michelle versus like with Rick. It's like,
the
by
man
God,
with his head on a platter is going to be more suave.
He, interestingly, but him and Michelle had some chemistry.
Do you think Clayton yells out when he climaxes?
Yes.
Like a Viking.
He's going to wear the like the helmet thing they gave him.
There's almost zero chance that Clayton comes on this podcast now. We've been a little hard on him.
Sorry.
And again, Clayton, we think you're swell.
We do. I would rather hook up with you, Clayton.
It's almost unfair because we 100% of the criticism that's going to come his way is not his fault.
It's because he had a target on his back for being bachelor and being boring.
Love you. Love you. Kisses.
Oh, one thing I noticed before we wrap up, what was the analogy? What were they doing that Michelle was like, this is like love. Was it farming?
Turning butter.
Turning butter.
She was like, turning, it's like, she was like, it takes a while and it doesn't pay off at first, but at the end you get something beautiful.
And I realized that when it comes to The Bachelor in Love, like any task, you can give a love analogy.
Totally.
The manure.
Like if the group date was like riding an elevator. Be like, you know, sometimes love, it goes up and it goes down.
And sometimes you press the buttons and other times other people press the buttons.
Yeah, and sometimes you just like get stuck and you have to like figure out how to, you know, go up or down.
But when those doors open, you got to get out.
Yeah.
You got to go for it.
Even if you're not ready, you have to go.
Like sometimes, you know, what if the group date was crossing the street?
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to wait for the right sign before proceeding.
Yeah.
Totally.
If you see a red light, stop. Red flags, red lights.
Literally anything.
Truly.
You have to swerve through traffic, swerve through different, yeah.
God.
Eating a sandwich. Sometimes, you know, you have to eat around the crust and,
sometimes it's about keeping it together.
You're not sure what you're biting into.
Yeah, you have to keep it together.
You gotta really protect the circumstances.
Yeah.
It's finding the white bread while also savoring the pesto.
Surely anything
is a metaphor.
Anything. Literally anything.
Although I was impressed about the churning of the butter.
Yeah.
Well, when you find out that Joe literally grew up on a dairy farm, like this boy knows what he's doing.
Layers.
What a flex that he, because I think usually it's like you have group dates where someone is in their element and it's very obvious. Like, you know, like they go to Viking Stadium, Clayton's the football player. Or like whenever there's, you know, the basketball date with Joe. And like this is another one where like Joe was very clearly in his element, but he's so confident and quiet. We didn't even know that.
Who was the standout on your farm date? Obviously, Corinne was out of her element. Who was in their element?
Christina.
Oh, yeah. Love her.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. She's hardcore.
Christina really thrived. Like,
that whole Wisconsin? Like you went to Wisconsin early because of weather or something? Like you had
a hurricane. Yeah. And
interesting. I was in a bridal party. And one of the other bridesmaids was like, oh, you work for Nick Viall? I was like one of the people in Wisconsin that they like had stand at like your concert date or whatever. Like you went to a show.
Cool. Yeah.
And she was like, we had to listen to the same song like 8 times in a row so that they could get the different angles. But nothing but good things to say about you.
TV.
Movie magic.
Should we
talk at all about like Brandon meeting the parents? I guess we already covered it.
I just wasn't sure if Michelle's dad was seeing if he had a boner because he clearly looked down after they stood up.
Those were his swim trunks, though. He was clocking the fact that Michelle had gone into his closet and given Brandon his swim trunks.
It's also like, can you really blame him? Michelle was on his lap. They were making out in a hot tub.
Oh, no.
Like, at that point.
I love how the show really tries to sell, like, this is all
an income coincidental. Parents
oh, my God. Like, we didn't tell them to, like, not show up.
Yeah.
I guess.
Would you wear your girlfriend's, like Natalie's dad's swim trunks?
Sure.
I mean now, but like at the beginning?
Well, I wouldn't, more importantly, I wouldn't get all weird and refuse to wear them.
Yeah, that's true. They were
awesome. Be like, oh my God, ew, your dad's? Like, I wouldn't make a big production about like, I'm like, okay, I guess they're just swimsuits. What do you think you know what I'm saying?
That's a weird battle to pick.
Yeah.
It just feels like, would you wear your boyfriend's mom's swimsuit?
Again, it's framing. Would I go out of my way to do it? No. If it was my only option, would I throw a fit and refuse to put them on?
Yeah.
Like, also no.
Also no.
It's true.
I would just kind of like roll with it.
Yeah. But I feel like it was nice to see Michelle's parents. That was very cool. Michelle's dad. Oh my God. So kind. Michelle's mom. I'm like, that is someone you want talking to customer service on your behalf. Michelle's mom, I was like, this woman takes no prisoners in the best way possible. Like, she seemed very kind, but like no BS.
It's a delightful family. They've raised a very impressive woman.
Michelle even said that though. She was like, my dad typically doesn't have to, if my dad's ever in a position where he has to stand up for himself or like say something, my mom's always right there in front of him standing up for him. Like, she said that was kind of their dynamic and I saw
But
that.
I also love that her mom mentioned how, you know, it wasn't just like a platitude or something you say. She said, he's always had my back. And she mentioned like moments where like that decision, like,
wasn't easy.
Wasn't always easy, you know, where you assume that you'd want to always have your wife's back. But like, let's be, there's a lot of married people out there who might not feel like their partner always has them their back. And, you know, having her mom say that, it felt real and substantive.
Yeah.
Like there, you know, you could tell when she was saying that, she was thinking of specific moments of when
he like went to bat for her.
Stepped up and she felt protected and safe by him, and it validated their connection.
And absolutely.
That was cool.
It's like they wake up and choose each other every day, Michelle's parents.
Yeah, which we love.
I also, two things about that. One, I thought it was so funny when Brandon sees Michelle's senior photo and is like, your teeth are so straight. And it's like, were they not before, Brandon? Yeah. Like such a specific thing.
Also, I thought that was a really nice senior photo.
Yeah, I was like, Michelle, I was like, of course Michelle looks like glowing in her senior photo.
Also really, really big.
Yeah, big senior photo. Yeah. It's like that. And it was like, I believe it was on a water feature. It was definitely outdoors.
Oh, yeah.
There was like high production value.
Why are senior photos always on the stairwell?
Oh, because it's like climbing the steps of life, walking up to the next
mine
chapter.
Mine is in my dad's office or my parents' office. And I like to joke. It's like, they're like, that's why we pay the bills right there.
What are you doing in your senior photo?
First off, it's life size. My sister and I have life size ones next to each other. They're big. And I'm pretty sure I'm like laying down in a windowsill and I have like nude heels on in the back that are like crisscrossed at the ankle. And I'm wearing like a sweater.
And this is like in your dad's office.
Yeah. My sister has one next to it and she's like hugging a tree or something. But
I'm drinking Dunkin' Donuts in my senior photo.
The hugging of a tree. Classic senior photo pose. Classic.
Her hand is like on it.
But also like, why?
So bizarre.
Because you need something to do with your hands. Like it feels weird to just stand there.
I guess.
I don't know.
The other thing, I think it was interesting that Brandon asked Michelle's parents for, because that, okay, and I think that's again part of it where I'm like, he is so in love with her, but I don't think Michelle is the kind of person who would really, I think on one hand, I could see her really appreciating like the respect that it showed, but I also think she's the kind of person who's like, I make choices for myself. My parents don't give me away. But, I choose.
But he didn't ask for their permission. He asked for their blessing.
Right.
Different.
Okay. But I think
it's different.
I think you could tell from the way the parents answered it by being like, if she chooses you.
Yeah, but that's the classic response.
Right.
It's also,
they're like, we just met you.
It's also the response to someone you probably give of like, you're not worried that they will be picked. It's like whatever my daughter wants, which is not you.
Totally.
Right.
Give me my swimsuit back.
But in fairness to Brendan, he didn't ask for their permission. He just said, I would love for you guys. It would be nice. And that's a valid want to like, ultimately your daughter is her own woman. She make her own decision. But like, I would love to know that you are supportive of this.
Yeah. I really respect the decision. I think it was just like the way he went about phrasing it was like another time that I remember being like,
he has no chill.
No chill. Zero chill.
But he's still very charming.
Yeah. Like no chill, but a lot of ice cream.
Well, 100% get engaged on Paradise.
Oh my, day two. Like day two of Paradise. It will be the rose ceremony.
He'll be like, when can I propose?
He'll give a rose and be like bro, get down on one knee.
End of the season. You got to wait. You know, so no, I'll do it now.
I'll do it now. The second.
I'll do it right now.
He's like, I have a ring on me.
We'll see. Or, God, can you imagine Brandon being a Paradise villain?
No.
I don't, but. So sweet.
Yeah, but, well, because again, it's like that's the big thing about Brandon. What is there without the puppy love? Like, what is his personality like when he's not like chasing after this woman he thinks
more
the world of?
More than Clayton.
Like, and is he like, does he get complacent? Because like that's if he's going to like pull some stunts on Paradise, it's like how complacent will he get? Because it's like very becoming to watch him like this like lovesick boy. But like if he's goes in a little bit more confident, like how's he going to behave?
We'll see.
We don't know.
All right, ladies. Well, thank you for coming.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Pretty cool.
Time flies when you're telling pee-pee stories, Allie.
That's my go-to.
Well, thanks for listening, guys. Make sure to tune in. Well, the Michelle episode is almost certainly out already, unless you couldn't help but wait and listen to this Tuesday night. Again, Black Friday merch sale. Check us out. 25% off code VIALL at vialfiles.com. We are back on Monday with a great ass Nick, Charlie Jordan next Wednesday. More Bachelor recap, Hometowns
edition. Hometowns.
Is it Hometowns or is it Tell All? Probably Hometowns. I forget. Doesn't matter. We'll be here breaking it down. And other than that, have a very wonderful, happy Thanksgiving, safe travels. And we will see you Well, whenever. We're around. Okay. Bye.